listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kolula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hollywood. This is your host of the most, Nikki Kolula. We're going to jump right into this episode. We have a very good friend and special guest tonight, the director of our new animated Spark video, Mr. Jacob Patrick. How are you, Spark, aka Jacob Patrick?
I am fantastic. Thank you for having me here.
Yes, man. It's been a long time coming. You and I have known about this video for a long time. We held on to it for 5 years. And it was time to release it. And I love that all of us were like, okay, it's time to release it. All around the same time, it was like everybody was having that feeling. So absolutely. First, I want to ask you,
yes,
why did you want to release it? Because I know I had so many different reasons, but tell me why you wanted it out, because it's kind of cool that we all came to this separately and then conversed about it.
I mean, I listened to your the show last week where you went a deep dive of everything. And now I feel like that has convoluted my mind where I'm like, because your reasons make such good sense. Right. So now right. I'm like, I don't think that wasn't my thinking, but I'm like, absolutely. And like you're saying, like that we had this for so long and it looks so good. And the longer we hold it and things change, then it may not look as good as it did. And now with AI and everybody creating things, they know that we created this before AI.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been hard for us to sit on this. We wanted to share it. We want to put it out there. We did the film's festival circuit. A few people got to see it, and they loved it. And they kept asking when it's going to be out. So there's just that artistic, creative thing of wanting to share it with the world. I think mainly because we were keeping it back in smart, strategic reasons. And then some of them were just taking too long. So like we've waited long enough. Let's put it out there.
Yeah. And the other thing too, I'm sure you felt this too. It was such a good, like, collaboration, concept, execution of so many people into one thing. I'm like, how much longer can we hold on to this without it just be getting dated and looking like it's not as magical as it is? And it's like, It's always now going to be timeless because of when we released it. But at the same time, you know, I always thought we would do this huge rollout where we do like tons of promotion. And it was like, you know what? No, let's roll this out and get this thing moving and get it to people. And it's really cool to see the reaction because you see that these are the people that dictate what studios eventually want. So I feel like the studios may not have the vision, especially because it's a new IP. And they just don't know. They don't have anything established on what this could be. But it's like you're seeing it in the reactions of the people. And it's so cool to see it. It's now at 6,500 plus on YouTube. It's over 25 plus, I think, on TikTok, 25,000. And it's just like, okay, yeah, this is expected that this would have this kind of, you know, response. What are the responses you're getting between family, friends, or, you know, random people that didn't even know that you were working on this?
And those numbers are for about a week, right?
Yes.
So anybody exactly. Watching this, listen to this later. some people at work go like, you're working on stuff outside of work? Like, how do you have the time? And I'm like, well, I did do this outside of work in the past, but it's like, no. This we've done years ago.
Right.
Hanging on to.
And you spent a long time. Let's talk about the first moment because everybody was going to ask me like, oh, how did you find an animator? And I remember Lene, special shout out to Lene Shuddy. She reached out to me when I put a Facebook post like, anybody know any animators? And you were the only name she came up with. She was like, you've got to use Jacob. He's come to see you at the House of Blues. He loves your music and he's just incredibly creative. And I remember looking at your stuff and going, wow, Jacob's stuff is really cool. And I sent, I think, four or five animators. I narrowed it down from like 62 to 30 to five. And I sent four or five people, you know, three songs. I think I also sent you three songs. Mm-hmm. I believe I sent you Broken Road, Silent Tears, and Spark. And I wanted to ask you, I don't think I've ever asked you this. What made you think of the Firefly thing with Spark?
I was thinking, well, before that, like, House of Blues shows, I'm sad that House of Blues is gone, but no, you guys, like, lit up that stage, like, your whole band and the music and everything. If anyone hasn't seen him live yet in his band, go. I loved it. Like, yeah, so I was a fan before Lene connected us. And, yeah, love your music. So it's awesome to work together on this.
Exactly. And you too. Likewise, I was jocking your stuff. As soon as I saw all the stuff you've done with Jimmy Neutron and just seeing your portfolio, I was like, man, this guy's ultra creative. That's what's so cool too. You're in a totally different visual medium than music. And it's like, you just get to just be like in awe of a totally different medium. That's what's so great about artists, I think, you know?
Yeah. And it's cool. We get to collaborate. Like, and it's cool. Like, work with different people in the different fields, but also, like, you do so much when you do your song stuff, but you're always doing like so many other things and you're always on top of it doing it. It's like, I love to collaborate with artists that are also have that ambition and that other stuff, like, going. The other artists are great. Like, if you get contentment from doing your art and you enjoy life, more power to you. I'm not saying anything against that.
Well, but it's so funny that you sent me the Adam Duritz interview, because I watched the whole thing and I love that he said that. He's like, you know, art, if it's a hobby and it can just be a hobby and it's fun, it's so great. But he's like, you know, for most people that take it seriously, it's not fun. It gets to the points where it's not fun and it's work, and it gets to the point where it's hard and it's just difficult. And I was like, I love that he said all of this, because that's what every artist deals with that most people don't know. They see the fruit of the labor, but they really don't know how hard this whole career path is, going against the grain, not going against security, all of those things to kind of make what you want, to just hope people like it. You know, it's like, so when I say that, so go ahead. Yeah.
With that, I say that's an additional reason why we call it a job or work, because there's a point where it becomes work and a job, and you got to do the things you don't want to do sometimes, or when you don't feel like it, or.
Well, it's also like reasons. I think I've worked with artists before where I'm like, you know, it's going to be hard. So if you can do this and it doesn't fulfill that much where you feel like you have to put all your eggs in this, highly recommend making it a hobby. And I'm not saying that you should make it a hobby, but I'm saying if you can make it a hobby and it doesn't feel like you're going to bleed yourself dry if you don't do this, then do something else and make it a hobby, because I wish I could do that sometimes. But it's not that. It's like everything is in the basket. It's like, let's go. Let's make things happen. And it's just, you know, that's what it is. So I love that you also think of art like that and connected on that same interview for the same reason.
Yeah, and I feel like there's a lot of industries. Like, I also do some screenwriting, so I'm in a bunch of screenwriting groups, and they almost all say that. They're like, if you can do anything else with your life and be happy or content, go do that.
Yes.
So
yes.
If you can't, then
you turn any artist off. But, you know, it's just...
Well, that's the thing. It's not going to turn anybody off that doesn't have that thing, because then, like, you have that creative need and you...
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the iceberg, too. People see what's above the water. They don't see what's below it. And I think all the work comes from what's below it. And you'll love this quote. I heard it on the college basketball game last night. They said, practice when no one's looking, for the moments when the whole world is watching. And I was like, oh my God, I love that. That is like the coolest thing to think about, because that's what it comes down to. It's like, if you're executing enough when nobody's watching, when it comes time for you to be in front of people, you will execute. So yes. I just love that whole notion.
Yeah, there's like those quotes about Kobe, like those experiences of where like someone came down like thinking they're going to be early, and he's already been down there for an hour, and he wasn't doing it for anybody to know that.
3 hours.
He wasn't doing it for anybody to see that. He wasn't doing it for anything. Like, but there's all that extra work that the people that are really good that they do when nobody's looking. Like, and on this music video, so much time went into it.
Right.
So much time that nobody'd see, and they go, "Oh, you just." As an animator, one of the friend, almost anybody I would ever meet, would say, oh, you should do an animation of me, and like just coming and waving. And I'm like, I just smile. Yeah, yeah, that'd be cool. But in my head, I'm going like, production wise, like that would cost $50,000 to do the concept, the modeling, the texturing, the rigging, the animation, like all of like, and that would take quite a bit of time, but people don't realize that. And now with apps that have took a lot of time for them to program them to be able to do things that look simple.
Right.
So it gives that illusion of certain things can be as quick or easy.
Well, the other thing too, it's like, I think I was also naive to how animation really works. And you kind of like opened my whole world to seeing how incredibly difficult and detailed. I remember joking with you, like the animation team was like, hey, we've got so much to show you. We're so excited. And it was 3 seconds of the Firefly flying, laying on the leaf. And I was just like, where's the rest of it?
You know? And if you want to bring up some stuff, I started to go through some of our emails and emails with the team before this, like have over like almost 500 emails.
Yes.
And that's not even talking about the chains within them of all this stuff. So I can share some of that if we want. But yeah, like you.
Go ahead. No, I was going to ask you, I want to go back to that first question. What was the inspiration when you first heard Spark to come up with this? Because I'll tell you, I saw so many great ideas. No, I'll say this. I saw a lot of good ideas. And then when I saw you write, I got an idea about a firefly that can't light up. I was like, that's a great idea. It just stood out among all the ideas of like, this is what it should be. And then I was just thinking, I never in my life thought my song could turn into a character. You know what I mean? Like that. I mean, I've got chills thinking about it right now. Like, I remember what I was feeling when I wrote the song. I remember having the moment with Butch Taylor when he was like, we should do that song, when I was just noodling around. And then for it to be finished and then turned into this, it's so cool to see, like, wow, this started with just a spark of inspiration and turned into this full-fledged animated world and a world of characters, and just such a – it took that positive message and turned it up to infinity and beyond. So tell me, what was the inspiration? What was the moment that made you come up with this? Because I don't think I've ever asked you this in all these years.
No, and again, like you said, all these years, how many years was that ago? At least eight?
Eight or nine years.
So it's hard to go back to then, but I was listening to the song. Well, and I realized my entire life, I've been fascinated with fireflies. I just think they're gorgeous. I think they're amazing. And with all of that and creating this music video at that time, I had never seen one in real life.
What?
So that's why, again, they were so magical to me. Like, yeah. And but I've always like had that fascination with them. So I think now when like listening to your song and just letting my mind go and trying like come up with ideas, like hearing a light in the dark or different thing, like, the synapses in like my brain, like spark, and get that connection. It's like firefly. And then you start to see the other elements that you talk about in the lyrics. I'm like, okay, I could see how this could work for that. I could see how this would work. And then you're like, all right, this whole thing could work together as a story with those. Yeah.
Well, what's so cool about, so this, it just gave me chills actually thinking about it. So what made me want to play guitar was Dave Matthews, like the Dave Matthews Band, Dave Matthews. And this is so, it's so crazy you say all of this. So the reason I say that is I started playing guitar because of Dave Matthews. I got to tell him that one day. We had like a 90-minute conversation about influences, writing, songwriting, guitar playing, the whole bit, which was amazing. And then I remember the following year, I had to put together a senior recital. I didn't vibe with a voice teacher that I had at USC at the time because my original voice teacher had moved to Virginia. And he had taken on a teaching position to be head of the department. And he said, why don't you come to Virginia for a whole summer? We'll put your recital together. And I was like, I don't know if that – he's like, yeah, you won't have any distractions. There will be no students here. And you can just literally come to Virginia and study music and learn your recital. And we'll just go through everything 3 times a week. And I was like, wow, okay. So I flew to Virginia. And the first thing that I saw when I landed on campus was a firefly. So like the whole Dave Matthews thing. And then the other thing too is the drummer for Dave Matthews went to the same school, Shenandoah University, to study music. So like the fact that now a Dave Matthews Band member is on the song,
yeah,
and you came up with a firefly, it just shows you like how everything is connected on some level that we can't really understand. So the fact that you were inspired in that moment, it could have been anything, and it was a firefly. And then it made me just think of me going to Virginia and seeing my first firefly. Where was your first firefly experience?
Michigan. Probably like 2 summers ago, I went and visited family out there and then finally got to see them and hold them. And
it's the most amazing thing ever. It is. Amazing. I mean, you honestly, I don't know if you felt like this, but I was like, it's probably a myth. You know, it's probably like dragons or something, you know, like, and then when you actually see them light up, you're like, wow, this is like nothing I've ever seen in my life.
Like, I didn't feel like it was a myth, but to me, it's like the Northern Lights, which I still haven't seen. And that's like my number one bucket list. Like, just, it's this, I mean, almost like a myth, because I feel like it's that magical. Like, it's as magical as like the Loch Ness Monster or Bigfoot or something that you'd want to see, but you don't think you will ever actually see.
Right. Yes. And then,
yeah.
And then you had that moment, and you had probably already made the Spark video when you saw
it. Oh, yeah. We were long
crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. So,
and other people that remarkable. Like came to our film festival and screening and saw the videos or things before, like they showed it to their kids, grew up here in California, have never seen them. They're like, their kids went on like a total deep dive into fireflies and fell in love with them as well. And yeah.
That's awesome. Wild. Well, I'm going to shift gears. We're going to come back to Spark in a second, because now you're an Imagineer at Disney. And
correct.
What a cool gig. First of all, some of the most highly creative people have gone through this rite of passage or are still part of this rite of passage. Tell me what that environment is like, and then we're gonna play a little video of you working at Disney for a second. So go ahead.
It's phenomenal. I work with very, very creative people, very, very smart people, and we all work together to create this thing for like guests that we really care about all elements of it. Some of the people I work with, they work for like NASA and JPL and different things, like trying to create rovers that are to go to Mars. Like, though, that's like the caliber of people I'm working with. Cause sometimes people are like, cause they know my background in like animation for games and TV and all this stuff. And then I go to Imagineer and they're like, oh, I didn't know you're also an engineer. I'm like, no. I work with very smart people I've done some like innovation stuff on my own, but like I'm working with very smart people that find all the variables, find the limits. I work within those limits. And then later they double check them to make sure we're all safe and reliable and that's everything. Amazing. So, it's one of the greatest places I've ever worked. How the culture is, how everybody treats each other. And I was, came up with some ideas to pitch, and some of the big wigs set time aside to come and like hear me pitch them. And like, wow. How often do you expect that to happen?
Right.
And
that's awesome.
Like, everyone's collaborative there. They really respect everyone, like treat you like adults. They're like, all right, this is your task. We expect you to get it done on time and turn it in and be the best it can. And they don't like micromanage. It's awesome.
Well, let's tell people one of the rides you did at Disneyland.
One of the attractions I worked on, which is at both Disney World and Disneyland, is Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. So
super cool ride. If you haven't been on it, you should, because it's like a throwback and a futuristic ride all in one.
That one won the Thea Award, and then another ride I worked on that the Land won a Thea Award. That's a theme park like entertainment award, like the Oscars for theme parks, is Zootopia in Shanghai.
So cool. Yeah. Well, I can't wait to see all of this. Well, let's play a little video. Here's a video of Jacob as an Imagineer at Disney. It's short and quick. That's so awesome. Disney did release this video.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's nothing illegal.
As you can see there, like, that's not Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. That's not Zootopia. So that's an announced attraction to go Avengers Campus in Disney California Adventure called Stark Flight Lab. So that's announced. That's released. And
that's going to be cool. So that's what that ride was.
That's what that ride is there, yeah.
So do you ever get to go on that little contraption, like –
all the time? I have to. Like, because I create the motion and I have to go on it to feel like how fun it is.
It's doing the motion.
Make adjustments. We have the creative director go on it. They give me feedback. And
did you ever think when you went to Disneyland that you would be helping to create these rides and experiences for people?
I mean, for a certain point, that didn't cross my mind as an option. Like, I loved it. Like, I loved, like, going on Peter Pan and looking down and, feeling like I'm flying and that looks like a city down there. And one thing I tell people, a way you know if you are the – again, lots of different Imagineers, lots of different skill sets, lots of different personalities. But to me, one of the things you know if you're that type of person in the right place is I would always look behind me and see how it worked. Like, I would almost want the ride to break down so I could see it with the lights on. So I could walk around.
You want to go behind the curtain. You want to see behind the curtain.
Yeah.
That's cool. It's interesting, too, because you took a bunch of the writers for the screenplay we wrote for this when the ride debuted. And it was such a cool thing because, you know, to see the ride that you've been working on for so long, you went to another theme park, went to Disney World first, unleashed it there, and then to come here and do it. It just must be a cool feeling just to be like, oh, yeah, one of my creations is now at one of the biggest theme parks, if not the biggest theme parks all over the world, you know?
Yeah, that's one of the many perks of the job is to be able to share it with others. And I've worked on games that people love. I worked on movies that people love. But even movies, they're in the theater for a little while. Then they might be released. Well, before it was like DVD or VHS, and they're only in like the zeitgeist for like 2 years or something. Unless it's a classic, then they fade away. Where this is going to be at the parks, who knows, 30 years, 40 years more, and it's going to be some people's favorite rides. Right. that childhood memory that gives them joy. And it's like,
Well, it looks like a storybook, like cartoon. You know, it's like it gives you that storybook cartoon vibe right when you get on the ride. But the coolest thing is also like the animation parts of it. You see like there's movement parts of it that make it kind of a spectacle. It's just a very it's a crowd pleaser. You know, it's a very fun ride for all ages. Like kids will love it. Adults will love it. And they're all going to have different experiences on it, which is super cool.
And that goes to, again, the entire team, that worked on it. A lot of people worked on it to create that vision and execute it and stuff. Yeah.
Well, let's shift gears back to Spark because I'm excited to play this too. But
yeah,
let's talk a little bit about what went through getting this, you know, kind of across the line, which, you know, I remember that one conversation we said, hey, we have a problem. The animator that we've been working with in India, he has passed away and we have no way to get in contact with him. And somebody called and left a message. They left no contact information whatsoever. They never called back. Mm-hmm. And so we were like, great, we've got this cool idea that we've got some things that we can show. But, you know, and it's funny, I was trying to look for that email. I can't find those old emails of the original footage. I don't know if you ever still have those. But
I found some of the emails, not the original footage. I have one of the animations. I have some of the earlier rigs, some of the in progress stuff. But we were using Dropbox. And so a lot of we have links. We were sharing links. So a lot of those things were there. That's no longer there. I'm sure I have them in one backup hard drive.
Sure.
But
sure.
I haven't.
Yeah, same. Like I thought I downloaded it. It's probably downloaded somewhere on my computer as some weird file that we're still I haven't named or who knows, you
for yourself, for reminder me and anybody else out there, a lot of the hard drives we have, they do go bad. Yes. So you want to get another hard drive and back that one up onto the newer one. Yep. So that you don't lose your data.
Yep. Just... You know what, one of the coolest things you did too that most people, I don't know if you have this too, you did a storyboard version of this video and you sent me a video, I think it must have been a minute long, of you doing drawings of the whole thing, putting papers and narrating the music video. And it was so cool. I was like, when I saw that, I knew where we were going with this concept. So I don't know.
I saw both of those links in the emails right before the show. Right now I was looking. One says animatic and one says animatic with commentary. But wow. The links don't work. I was hoping maybe a small version of the video would be in one of the emails. I couldn't find it.
Well, do you remember doing that storyboard? Oh. Like, How long did that take you to do? Just to give an idea, like, because there was some time put into it, even if it was just drawings of certain things, you had to have taken some time to do it.
Yeah, I remember doing the animatic for sure. And the time, and if people see it, they'll see it's rough images. It's just to get the story across, the point across. I don't remember the time frame. At least a couple of weeks.
I was going to say, I think it was about 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And you could tell there was time into it because you put detail in the drawings. It wasn't like stick figures. Like I probably would have done stick figures because I can't draw. But you put details in it and you put images of like zooming around a jar. You put a hand. You did all of these things that are now in the finished image of the video. It must have been kind of cool to see that first. And you were the first one to tell me, like, I think it's done, man. I think it's finished. Check it out. And I was like, okay. And I remember watching it being like, holy shnikes, this took so many years to finish, and it's now finished. And then we held on to it longer than it took to make it.
I know, especially for you, that must have been so hard.
It was hard.
I mean, it's hard for all of us, but I think especially you.
Yeah, because I couldn't wait for people to see it. And it was like also the record was 10, 12 years old now, you know, that we did the video for. And it's like we were hoping to release this in 2015, 2016, and it got finished in 2019.
I know. I saw some of your emails from even before that. You're like, hey, I'm at Tribeca, or I want to release it by Tribeca. Do you think we can do that? It's
like, and you know what's crazy, too? It's like, there are so many. I remember trying to get this into Sundance, and they were like, this is phenomenal. It just doesn't go with all the other, you know, themes of all the other animated segments we kind of put, you know, like accepted. And I was like, that's so dumb. I know I'm going to go see the animated portion of this and know that Spark is better than everything that I've seen. And it was. It was like, how did you not choose this? I don't know, but that's how people are in this industry. They may not have vision. But it must have been cool, you know, when we saw it together in the L.A.
That was so cool.
What was the theater in downtown? L.A. Regal. The L.A. Regal did a film festival, and we got to see it for the first time there. And you know what? I remember. I don't know if you remember this, but I remember it. Your dad was like, that's a great song, Nikki. And I was like, thanks. Thanks, Mr. Patrick. Like, it was just that cool that he was so candid in that moment. And it was like all of our friends and family in that place watching it together. And it was just, it was such an emotionally cool thing to share that with. And yet still, we still couldn't share it for another 5, 6 years, which is crazy.
Yeah. And then in India, it screened as well. And we created our own little videos to like thank the people over there that they played and still.
Yeah. And you know this, I didn't talk about this last week when Diane interviewed me about all that went into the producing and the music side of the video. But it got into a really cool festival in Portugal, and we went to Portugal, and they bust in 300 kids from all around Portugal. And as soon as the video started, all the kids started clapping their hands to the music and watching the video. And after the video had played, they all said, again, in Portuguese. And I had some friends that were Portuguese. They're like, oh, my God, all the kids are saying again, like, play it one more time. And I was like, Jacob should have been here for this. You should have seen that because it would have. It was emotional. I was watching it going, these are the new futuristic minds that we're trying to reach on some level too, not just adults. And it's just so cool to see how they responded to it. And I know that we'll have that moment someday when we make this into a movie. But right now, kids are enjoying it. Adults are enjoying it. People all over the world are enjoying it. How does that make you feel for all the years and emails and notes that I know that you put into this now that it's finished and it's out there?
It feels really good. and again, like now, like, yeah. Like right now I just sent it to somebody. Like, I'm like, did you know that we did this? Did I share this with you? They're like, no, you didn't. I love it. And they'd like even send more text saying how much they love it after that. Like that one wasn't enough. And it does feel really good.
Well, it's also when you send it to people, like you send it to your friends and your family and your crew and your circle. And then it's like, oh, yeah, I remember all these other people that have been in my life that I have to send it to. And it's like you just get this ripple of like, oh, my God, you guys made this. I said, this whole crew. It's just been such a cool collaboration with Anna Brain, with Andreas Jablanka, with you, with all the musicians that played on it. I sent it to one of my bass players that he said that was the first session he ever did with me. And I was like, that's so crazy. Of course, it's Spark. It's like everything was about the spark of creativity. So, of course, that makes total sense. So what's been the cool – sorry, go ahead. Well, I was going
to
ask you
– I just want to say like – and you are like one of the best people to work for because like
– thanks, man.
Being a creative yourself, you're like giving that creative freedom. Like the, like we send something, you're like, love it. We send something, love it. And yeah. Then sometimes you have, oh, I need a little more warmth in the eyes or different stuff, but otherwise, love it.
Well, I mean, I think you have to let creators create. I think that's what makes the environment so much better than if you're nitpicking something that's not really going to matter. You know what I mean?
And for how long everything took to, like how patient you were, like that was, yeah. So,
well, the funniest thing too, it was kind of like the money pit in the sense of like, how long is this going to take? 2 weeks. You know, it was like the big joke was, how long
did you guys say 2 weeks? But we said much shorter than it actually happened. That's for sure.
For every stage of this, it was 6 months. Let's say 6 months. And it always took 3 or 4 times longer. But what is so exciting is you realize that time is a little bit of an illusion when it comes to something like this, because you can say 6 months, you can say 8 years, but when you actually see that it's finished, all of that time that kind of blurs and becomes non-existent, and all that's left is like how much time was put into it. You can tell in every detail of the video, from the wings flying to the lights glowing. And I wanted to ask you, I don't think I ever asked you this, how do they make the light buds glow? Like, how do you animate light like that?
Some other very, very smart people who developed the software, taking into consideration how light actually works, program that into the 3D animation software. So it radiates it, and then you'll hit render, and there's different methods of doing render, but it basically sends all the light beams, have them all bounce, and it captures that.
Explain rendering for people that don't know what it means, because that is a term I had to learn while we were going through it.
I should look it up. Just kidding. I'm trying to think if I have. Can I share a couple examples?
Yeah, absolutely. Go for it. Right.
Let me look to present. Let me share a screen. Oh, I shouldn't.
This is cool. You're going to be the first person that's ever done this.
Okay. Share screen. And
let's see if it works. I don't even know if it'll work.
So, do you see my screen?
Oh, yeah. Hold on. It's loading. Yep. I see it.
All right. So you said renders. So here are some early models of the characters. Oh, it opened on a different screen. So different developed ones like of Spark, early versions, Buff, early versions of the model. So this is the model, a 3D model, doesn't have textures, not rendered. I mean, this is actually probably rendered just in grayscale. That, it's hard to describe. Light. It's almost like if you do a sketch with a pencil, and then later you come in and you fill that in and you clean up with color pencils or paint or something.
Right.
Like that's kind of the difference. So this is just a play blast. Like they've already done the colors for it, but you can see the pixelation there. This is just a rough representation of it.
And explain grayscale for people, just like that's the primitive version of trying to put everything for the model, correct?
Yeah, this is the gray model without colors applied to it and details of the colors. You can see here they added details of these veins in the wings of the different color that go along with the firefly. But also you see white here, there's also a different, what we call a texture, which is an image that's going to be black and white, that's going to make those parts, the white areas, more clear, more transparent.
What was so cool too is you'd give notes like, hey, the scale on the left wing that's fluttering is fluttering at a different speed than the one on the right, and the glare of the light should be fixed. I was like, man, I did not see any of that. Like,
I feel bad sometimes I give like pages of notes. Here's some notes on the model itself, like that. We want this to look like a separate piece, and right now they blend together too much. The other character didn't have this ridge around its arm. Right. Also, similar thing. We don't want this blended together, so they feel separate. Here's the depth of the mouth differences. This one, like geometry looks like it's going straight, cutting through the other geometry. So we need to add like a lip or an edge so it looks like they're physical pieces and not kind of just go through each other.
It's those are the details too. I think people don't realize that go into all of this. It's like it's such an amazing amount of detail.
Even other stuff, like you see this going around the mouth, like how the people model it, depending on how they model that, is going to see if it moves right once you actually have it moving or if it'll break and look wrong.
Well, one of the coolest things too is when he mouths the word wow. It's like you see, oh, wow. You know, like you see the same thing and you're experiencing the same thing as he comes out. It's like that wonder of being born. You know, it's like, oh, you come into the world like, oh, wow, this is what it looks like.
And with that, here's like us doing tests with the kind of the rig to see how it moves and the textures to be able to do some of that stuff, testing like the eyes blinking or not. So here's the rig. Here's some of the controls.
Remember when we spent a lot of time on the eyes? You're like, do you think the eyes look too like bug eyed? And I'm like, well, aren't they firefly bugs? But like, we worked on the eyes, I remember, for a long time just to get them warm and feeling cool and pleasant to the eye. Like everything had to have a feel. Yes.
And it could show how bad they looked at one point in development and how much of the wings
touched. So you see, like you say bad, but to anybody that's a layman, they're like, actually, that's a pretty cool drawing of Spark in the primitive parts of this video, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, the early development stuff.
So cool. Well, should we play it? Should we play the video? Let's make sure we play it. So we
do we want to play previous first, or do we want to?
Oh, what do you have? Show me what you have. Yeah, show previous first. How long is it?
It's the video. Or do you want to show it the final one first?
You know what? Let's show. We'll look. You know what? Let's show it. We showed it last week. We'll show it again. So let's do the previous. Do it. Show the previous.
All right.
Wonder what the fuss is all about. And lately I can see I'm just a face in the crowd, with the melody in mind trying to scream out loud. Do-do-do. It's a lonesome world that I've come from, but only I can see the possibility of breaking down the walls of better harmony. We all decide to run.
so awesome. That wasn't the previous. That's okay. We played the final one first. But why don't we play the previous back to back so people can see? Thanks, Sam, for playing the full premiere. I mean, full premiere of the video because it's awesome. It's so awesome to see that.
Yeah, that might be that's the tip of the iceberg you were talking about. Yep. So here's one of the many, many, many layers beneath the water. And share screen. All right. Is it gonna? Yeah, there we go. All right, here we go.
Wait, it's not sharing.
It's not sharing?
Not yet.
Maybe because I made it larger. Hold up a second. All right.
That's all right.
Share screen. Try again. Is it sharing?
Nope.
We have the yellow thing
around. Oh, there it is. Now it's coming. Okay, here we go. Yeah, now play it.
All right, let's go back to the beginning. So first we did, like you said, I did all the drawings, did the animatic, which is just drawings that are moving in space, just black and white sketches to go along with the song. And then after that, decided to make this like what we call pre-visualization. Everything in 3D, just very, very rough. Basically, the 3D version of thumbnail of stick figures. And so I created this so we can give this to the team so they have a camera and speed and placement to start with. And then they can replace everything with the real characters, the real backgrounds, the real animations.
Environments, yeah, all of it.
All right, so here we go.
Forgot about this.
Yeah. And just what you need. It's just the only things you need. Like there's going to be all these other details, but they're not needed to tell the story. So we leave them out for now.
Man, it's been a long time since I've seen this.
Yeah. Like, again, I like how those two shots go with that, the lyrics.
Yeah, that was perfect. That's awesome.
Hey, hey. If you number all the failures from the start of the car, the journey is the lonesome road that I come from. But only I can see the possibility. I'm breaking down the walls of Bella Harmony. The time has gone. Yeah, and the animation team and studio really stepped it up from this.
So awesome. man, it's been so long since it was probably 7 years ago.
Uh-huh.
A little bit more, where we kind of, okay, yeah, this is cool. This is what it's going to be based off of. It's so crazy to see that now, after we lived with that version for so long, for that to be the kind of like the template, you know?
Yeah, and then you'd get little pieces of, like you said, a 3 second shot, a little shot here. And so we'd have that whole thing and we'd just start filling in the different shots till it like
covers all of it. I'll tell you one thing that really made me respect animation and animators so much, because the amount of detail and work that goes into this, and it's like, it could be, you could spend an all day just doing this, you know what I mean? Like, tell people what that's like and the detail and time that goes into that.
So many of my friends have said, you have such a fun job. I would love to watch you work sometime. And I'm like, no, you wouldn't. And they're like, yes, I would. And then they stand behind me as I do it for 2 minutes. And they're like, that is so tedious. I could never do that.
And you're like, that's what I do. And you're also, let me ask you this too. You know, they say that great art is kind of abandoned at some point. Like, you know, when it's finished, it's abandoned. When do you know when something is ready and finished? Do you come back to it and you're like, because, you know, you can always tweak little things, but there's a point where you're like, I think it's good. Let's leave it.
The deadline. Just kidding.
Yeah, that's right.
As much as we hate deadlines, they are very useful. But even in that right now, we're watching, like, there's a couple of things that stand out to me. And like, one is like a note I know I gave, they didn't quite hit. And we're like, oh, no one else is going to notice. Okay, we'll let it go. Different things. One thing I find out with animation in particular, because we do get into the weeds and the very details, like, and sometimes you'll leave at night and you're like, because you've just spent too much time and you have to go home. And there's a part that's annoying you and bugging you. And then you come back in the morning and you go, I don't even see that now. Like, you get fresh eyes and that little thing that you were focusing on doesn't matter. And then the alternative is true, where sometimes you'll love and you're like, yeah, that's great. And you come in the next day and go, whoa, how did I miss that? Like, you were too close to it and it's glaring.
Well, that's also a part of it, like making art. It's like, it's micro versus macro. It's like, you're either looking at it like this or you're looking at it like this. Like, oh yeah, it's much better. Oh, I see that now that I didn't see. It's like, so much of that perspective comes from like distance and then just also getting up in it and just trying to be close to it. So how do you find that balance of like, when you're most inspired to work? Is it middle of the night burning the midnight oil? Is it during the day where you're like, yo, this is where people are functioning and I'm able to have other people work on the same things together? When are those moments for you?
For myself, it's usually through the night. Now, okay, undiagnosed, except by all my friends, about having like ADD, HD or any of that. So it feels like at night, I'm tired enough where my brain calms down enough where I can focus and there's less distractions. So I can just go into the mode and then just keep going through the night.
Well, I love that you said that, because I think I've told you this story of Salvador Dali. He would have a spoon and then he'd leave a plate and he'd sit and wait until he started to fall asleep. And as he fell asleep, when the spoon hit the saucer or the plate, that's when he would start painting, because he knew that he was like egoless. Because he was sleepy, he knew that he was able to like tap into the surrealism that he was kind of trying to convey. So I love that you kind of feel that less of the thoughts, and maybe it's the ego or whatever it is that's just dissipating enough so that you can be focused and be the artist that you are. Do you feel like that's what it could be?
Possibly, yeah. Like, I was surprised to hear that story. I don't think I've heard that one, because I've heard a very similar story of Einstein. That he would like sleep and hold a rock or whatever, and then, or not a rock, I forget the object, but so that if he dropped it, he would wake up. And to get in that space of theta, I think what they call it. So a lot of people might experience this when they're in the shower or on a walk. And that's why you have those great ideas then, when you first wake up or right before you go to sleep, and you don't forget it and you don't have time to write it down. Because you're in that moment between sleep and wake, kind of in your mind.
That's awesome. Yeah, and my friend Brent Paschke, he told me that Pharrell Williams likes to listen to tracks of water. Like, he'll just listen to like water and then he'll start composing in that place. So it's like everybody has this different way of getting there. For me, it's also in the middle of the night, unfortunately, because it's like uninterrupted. It's like the world is sleeping and I can be up and creative. And that's what I love. And I also think it's also because I'm less ego, less things. You get hyper-focused and just do the thing, you know?
With Pharrell Williams, have you seen Piece by Piece?
Loved it. So good.
Like, so, for everybody else out there that haven't seen it, watch it. And one of the great things is you see he was already doing it for years before he got this like base level opportunity that he thought was going to turn into something. Then he's doing that base level stuff for 5 years. People there are still not giving him a chance. And yeah. So then he had to leave and still do it on his own. So all the, again, the stuff below the iceberg, people just see him and see his success and don't know all that other steps and all those levels and stuff they had to deal with and fight through where so many other people would have gave up or not be willing to do. And yes. That's what it takes.
What is that place for you? Like when you get to that place where you like have to power through, what is the motivation? What is the inspiration that helps you create and get through that?
It's more difficult for me now. I'll admit that. And I don't know if that's age or if that's all the new distractions we have of streaming services, social media and stuff. So it's much harder for me now than it used to be. But back in the day, I think it's, again, having, other people say, why, or a goal that you really want. And I wanted to be a character animator for feature films where I was working 60 hours a week on a game animation job with an hour commute each way. And wow. So I would come home. My son would already be asleep. I would like lay in bed with my wife till she fell asleep. And then I would get up at like 10 and still work till 1 a.m. and then go do it. Wow. Good, because like I wanted that other thing that I didn't have yet. Even though I reached a level other people would call success, I still not where I wanted. So I knew to get there, I had to put in extra time. And that's where.
Well, it's interesting too, because it's like most people and even partners, even whatever your support circle is, it's hard for them to understand what this is that we're going after, because it's not scripted. There's no stepwise motion. It's not like connecting the dots to get to this thing. And you know, I saw this I had Justin Boo on the show about 6 months ago, and he said something so cool recently. He said art is not easy, and it's like if you're still creative and still doing it and still driven when it's hard, that's when you know, congrats, you're an artist, because that's it. And it's the same thing that Adam Durrett said. It's like it's such a relief to hear people that are such highly creative people that say it out loud, because you may only see a fraction of their success and it's that tip of the iceberg. So I love that you kind of also draw from that. You're very inspiring. Do you see characters like this in your imagination all the time? Do you see like nature's animals as animated characters? Tell me how that affects your psyche and what you're seeing in your imagination from time to time.
No, everything in the world all the time. I almost want to create a book or something on creativity and give them like an exercise, like, because so much of many of us, and it's normal and it's how the brain works, take so much of life for granted. Right. Like it's just, so I like to give almost example of like the doorknob. Like that's something that we all take for granted, but it's like, how could we improve that? Or how could that be different? I mainly use voice recording on my phone to capture ideas. And so I just have a huge list of ideas. And it seems like anything in life can spark a different idea. Or like you might hear a song and it's not anything from that song. But it sparks a different idea that's, oh, a TV show would be good about this or whatever, a character or this type of person. Or so I have I have more things that I would want to do than I can ever finish in a lifetime.
That's cool though. But, well, also because it takes forever to do these, you know, the animation thing, the execution, it's hard because you have to really want something to be animated to go through all the things. And it's like, we went through it together and it's like, man, it was hard. I mean, somebody lost his life during it. It was not because of us, but I mean, like, it just goes to show like how much goes into something like this, you know?
Again, that Rakesh, but a sad thing about that, like I'm going through the emails and I saw one, he's like, hey, sorry for the delay. I went to the doctor about a headache or something. So I'm like, I saw that just today. I wonder if that was a precursor to it that he didn't even know or different things. And yeah.
Well, I mean, he died of liver failure and cancer, and you just don't know when, once that stuff's in you, it's like, it's sad. It's sad. And he was the spark too. So I'm glad we did the right thing and dedicated it to him. Jacob,
yes, sir.
You're such a close friend of mine, and you're such a highly creative person. We are going to make this movie together. You know this. And
again, we're talking about what's below the iceberg. If people see it, they go, oh, look at those overnight successes. Look at why did they get it? This and that. Like the four of us, you, me, Eddie, David. Like,
that's right.
How many years did we work on those drafts of the script?
Yep.
Probably another 4 years or so.
Yep. Yep. Four years.
And then, as you mentioned on the last podcast, there was a point we have funding, like half of the funding or some of the funding to go. And then COVID hits, like all these different things that,
But a great idea is a great idea is a great idea. And it's like the one thing I wanted to do with releasing it is like, let's show the world. Let's show the world what this is and execute it and show them what this could be. And then hopefully a studio will come to the originators that had this idea and want to make something. We can make a long form version of this because we have the idea. We've got the title. We've got the trademarks. We've got all the things that we should have. And we're talking to you, studios. So get on board. But
yeah, the only reason you guys can make IP sequels is because you made original IP.
Yes.
Here's some original IP that later you'll be able to make sequels of.
Well, that's the idea. People have to get
back. And sell the night lights, the clothes, the bedspreads, all of that.
The glow-in-the-dark shirts. Wink, wink. Well, I want to thank you, Jacob, for being a guest on Wake Up Hollywood. You were on our show a long time ago. We knew we were working on this, and we had to be so tight-lipped about this. And we also did a magic animation music performance where we couldn't even showcase this.
Oh, yeah.
We'll have to do another one because it's time to showcase this on a big screen for people to see and experience in person because, it was just such a great collaboration and a fantastic idea on your part and a great execution on Anna Brain's part and serendipitous with Andreas Jablonka introducing us to Anna Brain. And
you all should go back and listen to the one from last week, April 1st, to hear the story of how this all happened and some of the ups and downs.
So crazy. What a roller coaster of a ride. But thank you for being a light in the dark. And I appreciate your friendship and I appreciate more collaborations and all the hang time. But check out Spark on YouTube on behalf of Sam, myself, and Jacob Patrick. Jacob, where can people find you if they want to find you online? Yeah.
With that, I was going to say, you guys saw it here, but get it and share it with other friends, family members, kids. See what their reaction is.
That's right. Where can people find you online if they want to get a hold of you and have you work on future collaborations?
Oh, for future collaborations, I guess LinkedIn, Jacob Patrick. You can see what I've done on IMDb. Instagram, Jacob D. Patrick. And then I got a website, jacobpatrick.com.
Love it. Jacob, we have more to do. We're not going to rest on our laurels quite yet. But I love you lots. Like a brother. You are a brother. Thank you for creating such a cool idea and being the director of Spark. On behalf of Sam, myself, and Jacob, we'll see you guys next week. Continue to be a light in the dark. Light up.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence. Right here on LA Talk Radio.